T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Morning Briefing, Friday, October 27th, 2017 edition. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer, and today we've got a great show finishing off the week for you. A really great show, some might say. Who are some? Well, probably myself and Jake Hughes. Coming up today, we're going to have Kelly McKegg, director of the POWMIA Accounting Agency, and former United States Air Force two-star general. That's right. Major General McKegg is what he used to be known as. Now he's heading up things over at the Defense POWMIA Accounting Agency. And essentially, their 2017 year-end report has come out. And we're going to talk to him about all of the work that they've been doing, the successes that they've had, and what he hopes to see coming in the future for that agency. Because he's only been in that job for about a month at this point, a little bit more than a month. However, his last two posts in the Air Force, they were actually related to POW and MIA accounting. Before the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency existed, the military kind of handled that, and he was in charge of that while he was serving in the Air Force. So really looking forward to that conversation coming up in, about 25 minutes or so. And then later on, we're going to replay our interview with John Burke. Now, John Burke, if you haven't heard of him, you're probably not on social media. John is an Army veteran and one of those social media influencers. Over a million followers on Facebook alone. He was featured on the show American Grit on Fox TV alongside John Cena. And we talked to him about all of the things that he's done and the reaction that he's gotten for putting his opinion out online, including some negative reaction from his fellow veterans. So, really interesting stuff coming up today. Thank you for joining us. You will not regret it, and you really never should. You will also not regret listening to the great things that Jake Hughes has to say. No baseball game last night, Jake, so we can't talk about the Houston Astros. I mean, we could, but
right,
we're not going to. They're now tied 1-1, and game 3 is tonight. What's your prediction?
Of course Astros are going to win. We got the hometown advantage, man.
Yeah, well, you know, the last time they had the hometown advantage in the World Series, that didn't
work. Yeah, but this time is different.
It is. It's a different year, definitely. And, you know, things are different at the VA than they were last year. Last year, they were different than the year before. One aspect that's different is the ratings that each VA medical facility gets. And a story that you can find at connectingvets.com, written by our own Jonathan Kopanger, has the listing of the VA medical centers included in it. And it's a pretty comprehensive list. It lists all of them, gives you what their star rating was on September 30th of 2016 and what their star rating is now, tells you what kind of change there was. I mean, it's basic math. Like here, we'll look at first on the list, Birmingham, Alabama VA Medical Center was a 3-star facility on September 30th, 2016, 4-star facility this year. So that's a change of plus one. There's some stuff on this list that you will not be happy to see, though. There are a number of 1-star facilities. First one that I see on the list is one that has been in the news for years now, the Phoenix VA Healthcare System.
Oh, yeah, that one.
1-star facility. And that may not surprise people because that's where the real VA issues first arose, and it was obvious that there was a lot of work to be done in Phoenix. But there are a lot of others on this list that are 1-star facilities as well that you may not have been aware of. The following facilities are 1-star facilities according to the VA. Central California Healthcare System in Fresno, that was a 1-star last year, 1-star again this year. The Loma Linda Healthcare System in Loma Linda, California, 1-star last year, 1-star this year. Let's see, who else do we have on this list? The Carl Vinson VA Medical Center in Dublin, Georgia, 1-star both years. Let's see.
Let me ask you, can you see the Michael E. DeBakey, the Houston one?
Houston. It's not in alphabetical order. It's by some sort of, number system that they use. So, sorry, you know what? I take that back. It is in alphabetical order, but it's by state. So which one was it?
Michael E. DeBakey.
Michael E. DeBakey is a 4-star facility, which is the highest it was, or no, second highest. It's a 5-star system. 4-star last year, 4-star this year.
All right, awesome. Yeah. Now, here's a question. What about the one in Washington? That's been in the news a little bit, too.
The Washington, D.C. one?
Yes.
I think I saw that one up here, and I think it was not quite what some might expect from what you would hope to be the crown jewel of the VA system. So in 2016, the Washington, D.C. VA Medical Center was a 3-star facility. It has dropped one. It is a 2-star facility as of September 30th, 2017. And that's another thing that we see that, you know, when I look at this list, I see in the first page, 4 changes, all positive. The next page, 8 changes, 5 of them positive, 5 of them negative, 3 of them positive. I mean, we've seen some negative moves. The big one, and this has a bright red flag on it, is the Dwight D. Eisenhower VA Medical Center, which is in Leavenworth, Kansas, was a 4-star facility in 2016, 2-star facility this year. So dropped 2 stars. Now, what exactly do the stars mean? You know, you have to go in there. It's basically they rate it against all the other hospitals. They have a set standard that they're meant to meet. Here's good news, though. If you're living in Montana, the VA Montana healthcare system at Fort Harrison, that was a 1-star in 2016. It's a 3-star in 2017.
Wow.
So it's moved up substantially there. We also see probably the best movement in Altoona, Pennsylvania. That's the James E. Van Zandt VA Medical Center. It was a 3-star facility last year, 5 stars this year. So
wow.
It went up 2 stars. But again, there are the bright red ones. So you've got your green. Light green means it moved up a star. Light red, down a star. Dark red, down more than 1 star. Bright green, or you know, whatever you want to call it, up more. Dark green, I suppose.
Emerald.
Yeah, up more than 1 star. So here's in South Dakota, the Hot Springs, South Dakota, the Black Hills healthcare system out there. 4-star a year ago, 2-star this year. So that's not good. I mean, there's a lot of not good on here. I mean, there are at least as many facilities that dropped a star as gained a star, it would looks like. We can look at this. We can look at what Jonathan's story tells us. 31 increased the rating by 1 star. And here's an interesting aspect of this story. The VA Medical Center in Manchester, New Hampshire, that we've talked about so much on this show.
Yeah.
Actually went up a star.
Really?
In the last year. Now, in the last year, explosive allegations have come out. Gross mismanagement, public health danger, bloody or rusted surgical devices.
Flies in the
operating rooms. Just really not good stuff. So very interesting that facility could actually go up a star. Does that surprise you?
A little bit, but then you got to think maybe the ratings were solidified before those allegations came out. I mean, that's the only thing I can really see, because these are things that, well, and then they may not have been investigated fully before the ratings went out.
Yeah.
You know, so they may not know yet.
Yeah, the extent of
exactly.
The problem. Here's something, you know, Virginia, one of the biggest states for veterans, massive amounts of Navy in the Norfolk area. There's also 2 Army bases, an Air Force base. There's all sorts of military facilities there. The Hampton VA Medical Center that covers that dropped a star from 3 to 2. Salem VA Medical Center in Virginia dropped from 5 stars to 4, while the Hunter Holmes McGuire VA Medical Center in Richmond went up from 3 to 4 stars. And, you know, just looking at the list, some interesting things that you can find there, like this. The state of Wyoming has 2 VA medical centers, one in Cheyenne and one in Sheridan. Both were 4 stars last year, both 3 stars this year. So, you know, these ratings, it's hard to tell exactly what they'll mean going forward.
I mean,
if you have a facility that dropped 2 stars, I don't know. You know, when we were talking about the ones in, what was the second one that we talked about? Hot Springs, South Dakota, out in the Black Hills. I don't know what was going on there. I don't know who was in charge there. Was the person who was the problem, are they gone now? Was the problem that somebody left and there was a turnover and some things got lost in the shuffle? I mean, there can be a lot of reasons for all of this stuff, but, you know, it can be difficult to parse exactly what it means.
Also, we need to know, I mean, I don't know what the article states, but we need to know what their metrics are. Like, are they going by cleanliness? Are they going by ease of care? Like, say a place is, you know, has incredibly clean and up-to-date facilities, but there's a lot of bureaucracy that keeps people from getting to treatment. Would that lower them a star?
So,
or would that raise them a star?
They've been rated by the VA on many factors, including deaths, infections, wait times, and instances of complications that could have been avoided. So This is more specifically related to the actual medical care that they've received. Although the wait times, that's part of that bureaucracy that we've talked about so much with the VA. And right now I'm going to move on to talking about another story, and Jake is going to move on to bringing a special guest up to the studio.
If I have to, gosh, fine. Moving, sir.
Yeah. You know, we've got a lot of great stuff that you can find along with that story on connectingvets.com. And if you check it out every day, your life will be that much more informed, to say the least. Our recent stories that are up there, IAVA survey highlighting their members' concerns. Now, it's not a scientific survey, but survey of their membership. General Mattis in South Korea amid North Korea's nuclear weapon threats. Of course, that story on the VA medical centers, which, hey, if you're receiving VA care, you might want to know what kind of care you're headed for. So I definitely recommend you check that one out. Then another one based on an interview that we had on the show just a couple days ago. Senior Chief Don Shipley, retired United States Navy SEAL, first a bosun's mate, and then decided to challenge himself by headed out to Coronado and going through BUDS. Made it through the rest of the training, became a SEAL, served 24 years from 1979 to 2003, then went over to Afghanistan as a contractor and took part in things in that way, and now is probably best known for essentially finding the fakers. Finding the phonies, bringing them to light, and bringing all of their nonsense up to the forefront. So, Senior Chief Shipley was on the show, and Senior Chief Shipley talked to us about his career, talked to us about his transition, talked to us about everything that he's doing now, including finding those fakes. And there is a great story along with the full interview of our conversation with Don Shipley, and you can find that at connectingvets.com. He's doing amazing things out there, and you know what? He gets a lot of crap for it. He's gotten lawsuits for it. He's had stalkers because of it, but he doesn't complain. He just goes out there and does what he does, and he and his wife, Diane, really, in my mind, national treasures, people that are out there doing really good work, again, finding the fakes and also helping veterans. He's got a wonderful project he's doing at his property in Maryland, and we're going to talk to him more about that coming up. And you know what? One of these days, I'd like to talk to Diane on the show, because not only is she the wife of a former Navy SEAL who is, you know, just a big name in that community and in the Stolen Valor community for all the good work that he does. She's a veteran herself. As he told us during the interview, she served in the Navy as a bosun's mate back when he did. They ended up getting married, and that kind of helped lead to him going into the SEAL team. Well, SEAL training, I should say, because he didn't go straight to the team. It helped him go to SEAL training because they kind of had to move because they got married and they were at the same command. Well, one of them had to leave. Guess where he went to? And his wife also, along with being the wife of a former SEAL, she's the mother of a current SEAL as well. So someone who is very involved in that community. And if you've ever checked out his YouTube page, and some of you probably have because he's got millions of hits on some of his videos, you're going to see some really informative and even entertaining things. The video where he goes down to New Orleans to get the guy that they dubbed Clubber Lang because he looked a little bit like Mr. T. Guy was claiming to be a SEAL, saying he went through a BUDS class. And you know, it's fascinating to watch because, one, you know, if Senior Chief Shipley is going after them, he's actually looked into it. He does his research. He has a database. There's a database that the SEALs can access to see who was a member and what they did, what BUDS class they were in, and everything. This one in New Orleans, he goes down there. He was doing some sort of training thing, I think, through the Extreme SEAL experience that he used to run. He now runs Extreme SEAL Adventure, which, again, is helping our wounded warriors. He goes down to New Orleans and finds this guy that was out just openly on the street, just telling anyone who walked by what a SEAL he was. Big dude, big guy, looked like Mr. T. It's not Mr. T, of course. Had the trident tattoo on his arm. And Don brings it up to him and says, like, hey, you know, what BUDS class were you in? He gives a BUDS class number. He says, oh, yeah, what year was that? And then he gives the year of, like, 1989. He says, well, I was in class 123 in 1989. Okay, well, then Don says, hey, how's that possible? If I went through class 121 and I went through in 1983, should have been a couple more classes between 83 and 89, don't you think? So you see that moment where the guy realizes, uh-oh, I'm screwed. But he tries to force his way through it. Have you ever seen any of Don Shipley's YouTube videos there, Jake?
Yes, I have, and they are hilarious.
They are. And he does it not in an aggressive way. I mean, yes, this is a bad, bad man. This is someone who, you know, probably till the day he dies could take both of us out at the same time with his hands tied behind his back. I mean, that's the kind of guy that Don is. But he doesn't bully people. He's not aggressive. He's just like, listen, man, I'm telling you, the one in New Orleans that I was talking about, the guy they dubbed Clubber Lang is a little bit of a Mr. T lookalike. The fact that the guy just kept trying to do it, as you've got not only senior chief at that point, you also had warrant officer Robbie Robertson, who's also former SEAL, standing there. And both of them are telling you, you're full of it. They're saying, well, how would your class 123 have been in 1989 if I'm class 121 and it was in 1983? Like, how does that make any sense at all? Wouldn't there have been more than two classes in between 83 and 89? And the guy just keeps going for it. But you can usually see that moment in those videos. That moment where it snaps and they're like, oh, no.
The defeat in their eyes, the realization that, oh no, I'm in front of two actual SEALs now.
Yeah, and most of the time he actually contacts them by phone. You know, he'll hear about someone who's promoting themselves out there, and he'll go on the phone and talk to him that way and just kind of, you know, lead him into it and then ask about some questions about the Bugs class. And he told us about the most recent story that made some headlines involving him, this John Garofalo guy who was on Fox News saying he had made a glass presidential seal for President Trump and he was going to give it to him. He'd given him to previous presidents, you know, and as a Vietnam veteran and SEAL, it was the greatest honor for him to be able to present these to the presidents because it meant so much to him as a SEAL. He kept saying SEAL over and over again. And Don hears about this story. And first thing he says to us during the interview is, you know, you hear about a Vietnam veteran SEAL and your antennas go through the roof because there were only about 300 total SEALs in Vietnam at that point, known as UDT frogmen. They weren't called SEALs until later on. You know, when he heard that, he contacted the guy, and the guy, he said, had been fielding media calls all morning and was excited to talk to more people and get his story out there. That excitement didn't last very long, Jake, because shortly after the conversation started, when he asked him about his Buds class and said, you know, there's no record of you ever having served as a Navy SEAL, Mr. Garofalo said to him, you're that guy from the internet, aren't you? Yeah, I'm that guy from the internet. So not only that, but this kind of shows you the pathology that's involved with people doing this. Garofalo admits it to him, says, all right, you know, it's a story, a tall tale that got out of hand, and I'm going to fix this. I'll take care of it. And Don says, okay, you know, thank you. Do that and let me know when it's done. And Garofalo calls him back a couple days later or the next day and says, hey, I called Fox News. I told him the truth. They're going to recant the story. They're going to take it down. Don goes, okay. Well, the guy had already lied about being a SEAL for how many years to how many people. So he decides, I should probably check and make sure he actually did that. Nope. Nope. It's still up there. So then Don has to go and contact. And he's like, all right, you know what? What he told me during the interview is I always give them an opportunity for an out. I don't want to embarrass them. But if they make me, I'm going to.
Yeah.
This guy made him. So then he went to Fox News directly, and Fox News knows who he is because you can ask any SEAL out there. And again, even before I joined the Navy, we had family friends that were members of the SEAL community. It's not that big a community. And there are certain members of that community that stick out that everybody knows. And there are guys like Don Shipley, Jocko Willink, Chris Kyle, rest in peace. You know, there are people who everybody within the SEAL community knows. He talked about the documentary on the Buds class. I think it was 237, Buds, or Class 237, I think it was called. A documentary series that they shot on a class.
I think I've watched that.
Buds, yeah. Well, you know what? One of the instructors in that, Mike, I worked with him at Navy Recruiting District Jacksonville.
Really?
Yeah. After he retired, I'm not sure what he did after he first retired. I think maybe he went did some contracting work or something. And then had a family, essentially, and didn't want to go overseas anymore, do anything like that. And he ended up being a special operations recruiter for the recruiting district. They started a program where instead of having your regular recruiter, essentially, go out and find special operations folks like divers, EOD, SEALs. Those are the three in the Navy. They would bring in retired SEALs, EOD, and divers to come in and be those recruiters and kind of to the people who could tell you about that life. Because you know what? I worked in recruiting as a public affairs officer. And then right around the time I got out, actually, when I got out, I had orders to go to recruiting. So I was going to be a recruiter. I can tell you a lot of things about the Navy. I can tell you a little bit about the SEALs. I came across a few during my time in, and as I mentioned before I even came in through my time in the Sea Cadet Corps, I knew some SEALs then. I can tell you a little bit about the program. I can tell you the minimum number of push-up, sit-ups, and pull-ups that you need to do to qualify for the pre-test before you even go off to boot camp. Those guys can tell you everything. They can give you the lowdown. They can tell you, hey, this is for you. And you know what? They're typically brutally honest people who will also tell you, no, no, this is not for you. You need to look somewhere else. So, you know, it's there are guys that stick out like that, like Don. And the fact that, like in this case of Garofalo, the guy who was on Fox News, the conversation, the line in that conversation that Don told me about where he said, you're that guy from the internet, aren't you? That's insane. You know what that means, Jake? That means he knew Don Shipley was out there and does this stuff, and he still did it on national television. What? Where does that happen? How does that happen?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I've seen people on, I've seen videos of people claiming to be soldiers. And with these people, it's obvious. They're wearing their ACUs out at a party or something. And they got long hair and beards and stuff. It's like, oh, I'm Special Forces. Like, no, you're not, guy.
Yeah.
But with SEALs, like you say, it's such a small community. And I think it's got to be some reason of maybe insecurity or something like that, because let's admit it, the SEALs are, you know, among the best of the best in the military. So it's like they want that feeling of people looking at them with that sense of awe, like, wow, this guy's hardcore. And so when you have that and you experience it for so long, you don't want to give it up, man.
No. And you know what? They also have the fact that there aren't that many of them. And you know what? When you meet them, when you get to know someone who served in that community, one thing that you find of not all, but most of them, they're not braggarts. They'll mention like, yeah, you know, I was a SEAL. Like, yeah, it was great being on the teams. I really, really love my job. It was a sad day when I had to stop doing it. And it kind of ends there. They typically don't talk about what they do with us. I'm sure they do with each other. You know, they talk about memories that they have and different missions that they went on and everything. But with the outside world, it's not really what they do. Now, there are a few over the years who have kind of publicized what they did for money and for their career afterwards. And hey, that's their decision. They can do that. You know, there's a lot of that going on with veterans these days. And I don't hold it against anybody unless they go really overboard and again, start lying about what they did or what they didn't do. If you're telling the truth, more power to you. That's your decision to make, you know, go ahead and do what you got to do. So, you know, the fact that, again, they just don't do that. And that's not just with the SEALs. That's with all special forces. When I was over in Afghanistan, I go outside the wire, either by myself with just going to different units to kind of be embedded with them. I was like an embedded journalist that was actually from the military, which gave me a little bit more access. I'd also travel with the bosses from my region, the generals who worked in the office, if they needed a photographer, a videographer. Me and one other guy, Jason, the two of us would be the ones who went. One of the two of us would be the ones who went. And, you know, I'd go out to, like, I remember on our Christmas, I'm pretty sure it was the Christmas tour with the Major General Hans-Werner Fritz of the Bundeswehr, the German army. He went out and wanted to visit a lot of different places on Christmas, kind of, you know, raise morale, find out what's going on out there on the ground, talk to everybody, let them know that, you know, he's thinking about them and let him know any concerns. We went to one small outpost where I see a bunch of German soldiers. They're kind of, you know, they're doing their thing. They're doing what German soldiers do. And I look over to the right and I see, there's like one guy's got like some shorts on and it was cold. It's cold up in the mountains in Afghanistan in the wintertime. He's wearing shorts that are like cut off ACUs. He's got a full beard. He's wearing Oakleys and that kind of stuff. And I'm like, huh, okay, I think I know what you are. And then eventually, as I'm taking pictures of the Germans, I get a tap on my shoulder. I turn around and there's this dude behind me who's like, hey, man, what's going on? You know who we are? It's like, I have a pretty good idea. Yeah. He was like, okay, so then you know you just don't take any pictures of us. So I was like, yeah, not a problem. Won't happen. It's like, all right, thanks. Went back there. You know, he didn't come up and he was like, hey man, I'm a Green Beret and you're not allowed to take pictures. That's not the way that it works. It's not the way that they do things when they're in. It's not the way that they do things when they're out. You know, it's just the way
that
happens.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Yeah, there are some people that do, again, oftentimes for money or fame or things like that. There was the whole controversy surrounding the Bin Laden mission and, you know, who was the one who pulled the trigger and who did this and who did that. You know, they can argue amongst themselves when it comes to that stuff. Chris Kyle and the story of Jesse the Body Ventura, who was one of the early UDT frogmen type guys. Well, not that early. He was a little bit later on. But, you know, there's a lot of that stuff going on out there, and they can handle that themselves.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Well, this is another thing where you're going to sit back and, okay, let the Titans have their little fights with themselves. I'm not going to get involved in that.
Yeah. You know, it's like if Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali, both at their prime, decide they're going to duke it out on the streets to see who's the better heavyweight of all time, I'm not getting involved in
that. Yeah, I'm just going to back off.
Yeah.
I'm not going to walk up to the SEALs and be like, yeah, well, I was a tanker.
I may film it.
That's
about it. All right. Well, you've been listening to The Morning Briefing. First segment and second segment is coming up. Retired Major General Kelly McKegg is going to join us. He is now the Director of the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency, and he's coming up right after this.
Helping military veterans stay connected.
We make it easy.
We are CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting vets every day.
Online and all over social media. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at Connecting Vets.
This Friday is a payday for me, I think. I hope. Oh my God, my bank account's getting low, man. I need more money in there. You're listening to The Morning Briefing. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer. And a slight change of plans. I had said we were going to replay our interview with John Burke, of course, from American Grit and social media influencer with over a million followers on there and everything. Well, guess what? It's live radio. Sometimes things change. And this is an instance of that happening because our own Jonathan Kopanger saw him come in. And after we let General McKegg out of the studio and walked him out there, saw Jonathan and talked to him about this story that we've already talked about today on the VA Medical Center rating list that came out. I found out something that I didn't realize when I was looking through it. We have at ConnectingVets.com on that story, and you can find it right on the homepage there. There's this there's this spreadsheet that you can scroll through. It's listed by state in alphabetical order and find all of the VA medical centers and their ratings. I thought this was something put out by like the VA. No. This was something created by our own Jonathan Kopanger, who took those ratings, put them into that order, got everything on there. It's essentially got all of the information that you need. So when I found that out, I said, we're not replaying an interview. We're doing a live interview with Jonathan Kopanger, former employee at the VA and currently ace reporter, one of our many ace reporters here at ConnectingVets.com. Jonathan, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. My cold, like I'm still, and I'm sure people can hear this because I cut the microphone when other people are talking and I'll cough in the background, but yeah. It's still there just a tiny bit.
Yeah, mine is settled down in my stomach and there's a little bit in the back of my throat, yeah. But I'm over it. I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Everybody in the world was sick over the last 3 weeks, it seems. Like I go on social media and because of the lifestyle I've lived since 1998, when I graduated from high school, joining the Navy, traveling the world, living all over the country, living now for the second time in this region, everyone, no matter where they're from, with one exception, people in like San Diego did not get sick.
Well, because they don't have the temperature change.
No, they don't. And San Diego is one of those places, like when I was getting close to finishing up in college, mm-hmm. I looked and said, I was like, you know what? It would be great as if there was like the perfect job for me in San Diego, because I've not spent a lot of time there. I spent, 3-4 days there before leaving for training to go to Afghanistan, a couple days on the way back. And then a week when my buddy got married out there and I was in his wedding party. I wish I had been stationed out there at some point. You know, I took
more homeless people per capita out there
because they're smart. That's where the smart homeless people go.
Exactly.
You don't have to worry about hurricanes like you do in the warm places in the Southeast, yep. like Florida.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about incredibly dry conditions like you do in the desert in Arizona and in places like that. Were I to be homeless, I would go to San Diego.
I just have to deal with tourists. That's, I think, walking. The worst thing you have to deal with.
And it's not even that bad. I mean, the tourists there are not as bad as like New York or Washington.
I don't know. You know? As a California boy, there are some bad tours that hit to California.
Well, one thing that they have in San Diego is a VA medical center at the VA San Diego Healthcare System, and that is on your list. And let's talk about this list. And in fact, that system dropped a star from 2016 to 2017. So tell us about what these ratings actually are, because Jake and I were discussing it. We got the breakdown from the story a little bit, but let's get a little bit more into the weeds. What are they looking at when they're rating these places?
Well, this is, and again, this is the VA doing its own internal rating. This is nothing to do with anybody else putting information in. It's just from the VA. What this does, if you look at the spreadsheet that I have on here, over to the left of it, you have these VISN numbers, and V-I-S-N and then a number. That stands for Veteran Integrated Service Network. That's just the VA way of saying of how they group things together. If you could see the map, and there's, if you look on the VA's website, you could find a map of this. They're all kind of grouped together in weird, weird things.
Right.
So that's all the VISN is. But if you click on that, that will actually pull up a spreadsheet that's pulled from the VA's website.
Okay.
So I connected these to each one. And there's only one that was missing, and I forget which one that it is, but if you look at it, it's just not there. And then you could see exactly what they graded these on. And these sheets are from the second quarter of this year. So this is newer material. They graded on the standardized mortality ratio. And it actually, it gives the benchmark, which for, Fort Wayne is the one that I pulled up, Indiana. The benchmark for mortality is 0.479. Fort Wayne did 0.705. So they really kind of get into the weeds in this. And I didn't want to talk about that in the article because you could really just spend too much time on that.
Oh, yeah.
So just by pulling this up, you could see each one, like ventilator-associated events, central line-associated bloodstream infection, urinary tract infection. I mean, they really get into the details on this. And even in this spreadsheet that you pull up, it has arrows pointing up or down. So compared to last year, how it was done.
Yeah.
So that's how you really can look into this and see how they were scored. I will point out, and I think I said it in my article, the hospital in Manchester, New Hampshire, it was 3 stars last year and went up to 4 stars this year.
Yeah, we mentioned that.
So I don't understand that. I want to dig a little bit more into that. But this is just, I think this is just good for people to look at and take with a grain of salt, because this is information coming from the VA. Use it to dig and to ask more questions before you go have a procedure. I think that's the best way of using this.
When we looked at this, Jake and I, you know, the two doofuses looking at it, you know, laymen, we didn't know exactly what it meant. We were just like, oh, look, that one's darker red. That's probably worse. Yes, it is. The story tells you that. Should have read that first. You know, when we see those that are dropping 2 stars in some cases, looking at like Leavenworth, Kansas, which is a big one. There's a large veteran community around Fort Leavenworth and a lot of people who still work there, whether at the prison or other places. I mean, they're... When we see those big drops, what does that tell us? I mean, how bad are the places that are going from a 4-star to a 2-star, like the Dwight D. Eisenhower VA Medical Center in Leavenworth? I mean, how bad is it when you actually look at the numbers?
I was actually surprised by the Eisenhower Medical Center that it dropped that much.
Right.
There are some of these that, because of just the research I've been doing for different articles, you hear certain medical centers more than you do others. The Eisenhower one is one that I have heard of. And I was really surprised. So I don't know why it dropped too. There are some, and I've got a spreadsheet where I have it separated so I could see these a lot easier than you. Like the James E. Van Zandt Medical Center, it went from 3 to 5. That was no surprise to me. Yeah. They do such incredible work there. The green program is pretty incredible. There is one on here that was only 4 stars. I was really surprised. It's the Ann Arbor VA Medical Center. I think it was 4 stars last year. It's 4 stars this year. I was really surprised by that. I would expect that to be kind of like a VA 5-star medical center.
Yeah.
So, and again, I haven't done a lot of detail on why some of these have dropped or anything like that, but I don't know. It's nerdy. I find it interesting.
It's fascinating.
And it makes me want to look into it more.
I don't even like numbers. Like my wife's job involves looking at a lot of spreadsheets, and I look at her doing that, and she kind of enjoys it sometimes. And I'm like, I don't understand how you could enjoy this. But here, looking at Leavenworth, and this is, again, just me. Remember who we're talking about here. This is me looking at this. Here's what I just found. One of the things where they are pretty well below the benchmark, as you mentioned, that they have a benchmark, which is kind of like the average. That's where things should be. Best places to work, 61.3 out of a score of 100. The benchmark was 69.4. So you're talking 8 points lower. And within that, I was looking at it and said, you know what? they're not that far below the benchmark on overall job satisfaction, satisfaction with the organization, recommend my organization as a good place to work. But then the registered nurse turnover rate, 11.5%.
Yeah.
The benchmark is 2.7%. The 90th percentile is 8.8%. So that puts them as probably having the highest nurse turnover ratio in the VA medical center system.
And that I can't talk about, because the issue with that is VA can only pay their nurses, well, the way that they pay them, it's $20,000 to $30,000 less than in the civilian world. So why wouldn't a nurse go to work for the VA, get some experience, and then go get a better job?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do that?
And it's, but it's even that you look at, they have it listed there. You know, when you go to Jonathan's spreadsheet, you'll see the number over on the side. What's that number called?
The VISN.
VISN number, yep. Which stands for
verified.
You just misspelled vision, didn't you?
No. It stands for Veterans Integrated Service Network.
Okay. So it's got that. And then you click on it, and I did it in Chrome, and it automatically downloaded the spreadsheet, and then you open it up in Excel. And again, so it gives you like the, what we're looking at here, the 10th percentile, 50th percentile, and 90th percentile, so that you can compare the numbers that any facility has to the numbers that everybody else has. So looking at San Diego and looking at their employee satisfaction, using this example, 64 compared to the 69 benchmark. They are not the worst place by far. The 10th percentile is 54, so the lowest is going to be like 50 out of 100.
Yeah.
The nurse turnover, we just talked about at Leavenworth that it's 11%. It's 5.3%, which is still double the benchmark, double the average, essentially, that they're looking for at the VA. But it's somewhere in like the, what is it, the 50th percentile. So it's actually somewhere in the middle. Fascinating data to go through. And this is where, you know, a lot of people can say a lot of things about the VA that they like or that they don't like. But when it comes to data like this, now that one, obviously the category that I was using just because it caught my eye, employee satisfaction, that's based on people and it's opinions and things like that. Other than
the employee's opinion.
Yeah. The employee's opinion. Yeah. But other than the nurse turnover rate, that data is based on like, you know, I mean, go to a Navy ship, the best ship in the Navy, like 80% of the sailors on board would be like, this place sucks, man. I don't want to be here. This is the worst. But you do have a lot when it comes to disease-specific 30-day readmission date. So how many people with pneumonia came back in within 30 days to be readmitted. And in San Diego, it is, you know, it is a percentage, I believe it says there. So hold on, let me find this one. The percentage, 14.3% of pneumonia RSRR patients, whatever that specifically means, 14.3% came back, 13.6 is the benchmark. They're actually below the 50th percentile there. So again, a lot of interesting information that can give you maybe not the whole story about your VA medical center, but certainly part of the story, right?
Yeah. And I would like to point out that the VA doesn't volunteer this information. This came because USA Today last year somehow got a hold of it and published it and kind of forced the VA to say that they were going to publish it. So again, it came out and I can't find where the VA is publishing this. I was able to pull my information, well, part of the information from USA Today, and then I was able to get the rest of it myself. But yeah, it's just, I kind of thought of this as something that we should send out to people so that they could just look at and compare with like the access to care. If you look at the access to care link where you can see the wait times, it also will give you the standard of how the medical center compares with the rest of the world. But this just gets down a lot more detailed and it's VA information. So if it's bad in here, they're not hiding it from anybody.
No, that's very true. And you know, looking at some places, we were going around and talking about this a little bit ago, and actually I just found a weird one geographically, how in Minnesota there are two VA facilities, one in Minneapolis, one in St. Cloud, which they're both kind of in the center of the state. They're not very far from each other. That's a big state. So those people up north, you know, places like Bemidji and other places like that, Duluth, Minnesota, they're going to be a long way from either one of them, but they're a long way from what look like good facilities. Both facilities in Minnesota, 5 stars last year, 5 stars this year. And that's the other interesting thing about your spreadsheet is it demarks basically their 2016 rating, their 2013, and then compares it. If they went up a star, 2 stars is I think the best that we see. Montana, good for Fort Harrison, Montana, going from a 1-star facility to a 3-star facility. That's big, especially for all the rural veterans out there, because Montana, It really doesn't matter where you're living in Montana. You're living in a rural area if you're living in Montana.
Absolutely.
What did you find as far as the trends overall? Are there more places that got better, more that got worse? Was it pretty even? It looked to be fairly even just at a glance.
There are more places that got better. I can't count it right now, but there's a lot. There was 11 that stayed one star, which I found kind of crazy.
Yeah.
If you're bad last year and you're still bad this year, what's going on?
Well, and here's an interesting one. The state of Tennessee, a place where I would visit when I was stationed in Jacksonville, part of my job required me to go to a conference at Millington, which is the home of basically Bureau of Personnel for the Navy, all the records and everything. That's in Millington, as well as Navy Recruiting Command, which was my parent command. 3 out of the 4 VA facilities in Tennessee are one-star facilities and were last year as well. And then the 4th one, Mountain Home VA Medical Center in Mountain Home, Tennessee, 4 stars last year, 4 stars this year. So what?
Right.
What do you look at it and you go, this is shocking. Now, some of the data on there, when you're talking about like a readmission rate for pneumonia and things like that, some of that can be on the patients, like not properly, you know, resting at home. There are some things when you talk about a death rate, there are just random spikes in death rates and things like that just happen. There are health issues in certain areas. Some cities are just obese, just flat out. Everybody's got health problems because they're obese for the most part. You've got that going on. But even so, you shouldn't see a place stay at a one star each year, because they should be able to find something to improve in the other areas. If there are areas where you can't improve, if you're living in a city where, listen, there's a high number of people who have health problems, that's one thing. But if there are other aspects of care that you can improve on and you're not, what do you think? Are there going to be any results that come out of this? Like down in Tennessee, where you've got 3 out of 4 just stinking it up, according to this these statistics, and 1 kicking butt and taking names. What do we do about that?
Something has to happen. And again, the VA was forced to release this information. So now we have 2 years worth of it. So something has to happen. There has to be a change on it. Talking about Tennessee, and I don't know the medical center particularly well, but I do know some medical centers, what they do, and again, I've always said the best thing about VA is the people. You have some medical centers that will actually go out and look for homeless veterans. They make the effort to go out and make sure that everybody's taken care of. They put so much more work into taking care of their patients, which is why you don't have the return rate for pneumonia or anything like that. Right. It's because the people in the medical center actually do the work they're supposed to do.
Right.
And some are better than others. So I think the VA should really look at this. They have these programs in the VA where, like the opioid issue, coming up with ways to for doctors to prescribe less opioids. A medical center in Cleveland, I think they have a 5-star rating, I believe, came up with this idea and then spread it around the VA. So they'd use best practices. They need to start using best practices on this now, because we all see who's the 1-stars, who were 1-stars last year, anybody who dropped, we know this. So you need to get your act together and start doing something that some of the better places are doing. If you look at Northeast, if a veteran's going to get sick, veterans want to get sick in Massachusetts or Minnesota.
Yeah.
But in the Northeast, most of them are pretty good, except for Manchester. So you're all in the same VISN 1. Why are all the other ones doing pretty good, except we know what's going on with Manchester, even though they're rated 4 stars on this. But we know that that can't be true.
Looks like another place that in general, you are going to get a pretty good level of care, because it's a big state, a lot of veterans there. And we have 5 5-star facilities and 2 3-star facilities. Pennsylvania.
I was just looking at that too.
Actually saw a big increase at the James E. Van Zandt VA Medical Center. Of course, he was one of the, James E. Van Zandt was one of the members of Lynyrd Skynyrd. I'm just kidding, of course. They did not name a VA medical center after one of the guys.
Is he an admiral?
Yeah, I believe he was, Admiral Van Zandt. Maybe related to Paige Van Zandt of Who the knows? UFC. I don't know. What I do know is that the James E. Van Zandt VA Medical Center was a 3-star last year and bumped up to a 5-star this year. So again, we've got 5 5-star facilities in Pennsylvania and 3 3-star facilities. That's pretty good. Meanwhile, up in Oregon, 2 1-star facilities and 1 3-star facility. The good news, that 3-star facility is in Portland, and it's up from a 2-star facility. So they're trending in the right direction. But the VA in the states, right? Is each VA medical center totally separate, or are they run by, like, is there a state organization that oversees them all?
It's the VISN. They're run by the VISN, so it's not really state. California is broken into two. There, I forget which VISN it is, but you have Northern California and Southern California. Southern California has Nevada, so it's not really just the states. You have some that you have several states grouped together because they're more rural, but that's how the kind of the hierarchy is done.
Oh, okay. So it's a little bit more widespread than just by state, because if it were by state, you'd be wondering, how come somebody hasn't been held accountable for what's happening in Kansas? Where, as we mentioned, Leavenworth went from 4-star to 2-star, Topeka from 4-star to 3-star, Wichita from 4-star to 3-star, and that's it. Those are the three facilities. So each facility in Kansas under VISN 15 trending downwards.
Yeah.
That's not good, man.
Nope.
That's not good at all. In California, it was kind of surprising there where, you know, when we're looking through the list, you've got a number of 2-star facilities, 1-star in Fresno, 1-star in Loma Linda. California, again, I believe has overall, just because of the massive size of the state and the population, population-wise, flat out, has the most veterans and looks like the best facility they have in the entire state, according to these ratings, is a 3-star facility.
Yeah.
Now, San Diego used to be a 4 and dropped down to a 3 this year. So, you know, it's fascinating stuff. And Jonathan's work putting together this spreadsheet where I can look like my home state of Connecticut, West Haven. That's where the VA hospital is, the big one, because it covers the entire state. From a 4-star to a 3-star, that may be related to them losing my dental records 6 years ago. I swear, man, I brought them there. And then I moved out to Long Island after like a year. Mm-hmm. Went like, okay, I'll take my records now. Oh, we don't have those. What do you mean you don't have them? Where else would they be? I brought them here, and they were like, gone. Hey, sorry. Like, you know, so that's why they lost a star.
Must be.
It took 6 years for the information to funnel down.
They're slow, but they're tracking.
So you've got that, and then here's another bad one, man. The DC VA Medical Center, which has been in the news, of course. They fired the head, and then he was rehired because of a union issue, and then he was refired under the new program, and we haven't seen him since then, so I'm guessing he's not coming back. But it went from 3 stars to two, and that's supposed to, you would think, in our nation's capital, massive veteran population in the Washington, D.C. metro area, all the people who continue to work in government, the people stationed at the military bases around here. You would think it would be the crown jewel of the VA system, right?
They don't even have enough parking. You can't even park at that place. It's
ridiculous.
Didn't
they also find somebody dead in the parking lot at the DC VA Medical Center a couple months ago?
Yeah.
Which the family was very upset about, but it seems what happened was, I think the person went in for an appointment and then was done and went out to their car and then didn't show up at home. I mean, if he already checked in and out of the VA, they wouldn't even know, like, you know. And even
you should have people going through the parking lot. I mean, there's security
which they've
issues,
started doing now. Yeah, it's more of a security issue. It's not a VA medical center like they killed him or anything like that. It wasn't that kind of an issue. It was just a health issue. I think it was a heart attack that happened out in the car. Which, listen, things like that happen, man. There, I was at a high school football game where a guy dropped dead once. I mean, it was horrifying, but things happen. You know, looking at this and looking at the work that that Jonathan did on it, you can learn a lot about your VA medical center. And if you're the kind of person who likes parsing information, there's a lot of data to go through here. You've got not only the spreadsheet that's scrollable on the site, and that's of course at connectingvets.com. You've also got the VISN, which, as we've learned, is essentially the oversight group.
Yep.
There's groupings. How many of them are there?
Well, they're not. If you count them, I think it goes up to 23, but there's not a number 3. There's not a number 11, if I remember correctly.
Don't they know the only number you're supposed to cut out is 13? Because it's not lucky. Like, 3 and 11 doesn't even add up to 13. Come on! Get your stuff together, man. So you've got that, and you click on the VISN number, and you're able to see that specific facility and the numbers. So when Jake and I were talking about, you know, what does this all mean? Well, had I clicked on that VISN number, I'm glad we brought you in here to talk about this and get more of that information out. We've had a fantastic show today. A lot of focus on this VA Medical Center ranking. Again, our thanks to Jonathan Kopanger for making that spreadsheet, making it that much more approachable for the average dummy like me to walk up and click on things and know what I'm looking at and talking
about.
Yeah. Of course, also thanks to Major General Kelly McKegg. Oh, my goodness. He's going to come back and be like, so you demoted me now? Retired Major General Kelly McKegg, who heads up the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency. If you didn't get to hear that interview, it's going to be up on our website as a podcast. We're also going to be doing a story on that today. Absolutely fascinating stuff. And they're doing some amazing work. 183, Jonathan, located and accounted for in fiscal year 2017, which was up 20 from the year before. It was like 164 in 2016. Wow. And the general says, I think that number is going to keep going up.
Wow. And
because of advances in technology.
Yeah.
But then they have some things working against them. People dying who would know the information. You know, they were getting information. He was just at a conference, he said, and they got information from people who were in Vietnam who were like, you know, they've declassified some of this stuff now. So if you go look here, you might be able to find some stuff. Boom, they go, they find it. And World War II, it's even more difficult.
Is there an outstanding number of how many people are missing still?
Oh, yeah. It's upsetting. It's over 70,000,
oh,
mostly
wow.
from World War II.
Wow. And really? From World War II?
World War II.
Like Korea or
no,
Vietnam?
That's what everybody thinks. And I think it's, we talked about that a little bit. I think it's a lot
Record
of it's because of
maybe?
Hollywood. Also, Rambo and Chuck Norris, they were always over there looking for the POWs in Vietnam. There's no stories about people looking for unaccounted for. Yeah, it's like 70,000 people. And,
wow.
and the vast majority, only 1,600, and I say only, 1,600 are from Vietnam.
Huh.
And Korea has substantially more than that. World War II is still the big one. Now, a lot of them lost at sea, ships that sunk, naval battles. You're not going to find those folks. But advances in technology are doing amazing things. And even some of those lost at sea, got to remember, wasn't that long ago, they actually found the USS Indianapolis.
That's right.
That legendary ship that brought the atomic bomb to the airstrip where it would be brought onto the Enola Gay and then brought to Hiroshima. So that'll be up on the podcast, connectingvets.com. And don't forget to follow us. We are at Connecting Vets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Thank you so much for joining us today and this week. Have a wonderful, safe weekend. We'll be back here on Monday with another great show for you. On behalf of myself and Jake Hughes, have a great day. Stay safe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.